Well, good evening. Welcome to Hope and Beach Church. My name is Jason. I'm honored and privileged to be the senior pastor here. On behalf of the congregation, we welcome you here. We welcome you home to this place of grace. We like to say is a no judgment zone, and we're just happy and delighted you're here with us. If you're new with us, just a reminder, it's okay not to be okay. If you don't know what to do, you're pretty much like 95% of the people here anyway. You're okay. This is, again, a place of grace. We do want to acknowledge your presence with us. So in your worship folder is a connection card. It looks like this. If you could be so kind to fill out the front, we'd love to be able to recognize your presence with us, especially if you have prayer requests. It would be great. We'd love to come alongside of you and pray for things that are on your heart and life and be part of that. So today is Ash Wednesday. And if you're unfamiliar with Ash Wednesday, it's different. We're in a culture that likes Easter, not Ash Wednesday. Think about that. We're in a celebration culture all the time. And there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus celebrated plenty, right? First miracle, wine at a wedding. I think that's a week-long wedding. You know, that's not just one reception. That's a week of reception. They ate and drank a lot. Probably not as much as some of you do here. But anyway, the point is, we like celebrations. And so in a season of Lent for 40 days, we join in the journey of Jesus that is a journey of, it's been a journey of sacrifice. To leave heaven, to be reduced down to single cell, and to take on flesh is sacrifice. To serve the creation that should be serving you is sacrifice. And so he is a journey of sacrifice to the cross. And so in this season, we don't put on just, we're just going to be sad faced. We take on some form of sacrifice, not to beat us up, to make us better Christians, but to be reminded of what Jesus did for us and to be prompt to want to join in that spiritual conversation that God is having with us all the time. A prompting to say, God, there's more here than celebration. And you've called me to more here of service like Jesus for the celebration that's for all of us in heaven. That's part of what the season's about. So it's different. Tonight will be different. We've changed the order. It's different for a reason. Because I want to bring you on a journey. I want to help you leave Easter for a while and help you make a journey to the cross, just like Jesus did. And so we started that actually Sunday. And on Sunday, we had a family event to bring in Lent. And these kids are learning, as a congregation is learning, since you guys are on a lot of people are different sites, I wanted to let you see this. Roberto was so gracious to make a video for us. Is that they decorated a word. I'm going to say it one time. It's going to be my last time. We decorated the Alleluia. And then we put it in a tote, which is kind of like a coffin, a tomb. And we buried it to be a physical reminder we're giving up that praise during this season and that we will unbury it on Easter. We will bring it back. So here's the kids putting it in. You know what? I love this. I love the turnaround. Let's pile it on. Smallest thing. It doesn't mean that we're doing these things to earn God's favor. We've been learning about that over and over again, right? We these are things that we do, traditions that we do in order that we, and this behavior would remind us of some spiritual reality. And so as you look in Scripture, would you go to the next slide? If you look in Scripture, it's very interesting. The Israelites were rescued, right? And where were they taken after they were rescued? Where did they go? What? A desert. They were taken to the desert. Elijah, where did he go to be? He was in a desert. Where did Jesus go in the beginning of his ministry? To a desert. Here's what's interesting. God withdraws his people. He even withdraws himself into a desert experience of less so he can have more of God. That's what Lent is. It's to pull us away into a desert of less of this world so you have more of God. And so with that, let us rise and we'll begin our worship together. And we're going to begin with recognizing God's presence, of God's grace, just like he did with the people of Israel. He rescued them out of slavery and brought them through the Nile in their baptism. He made them their own people, and he brought them in a desert. And so in these words, these simple words, are the words that you were baptized in, the words that you were rescued in, the words that save, because it's the words of God, it's him. So we make our name and make our beginning name God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We confess our sins. God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I give you time to reflect. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father, most merciful God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will, walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you of all your sin, as a called and ordained servant of the word. Therefore, I forgive you of all your sins, in the name of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we come into this of God who's chosen us, who's rescued us, who's reminded of the grace he has for us, his love, what we want to do in this time is make room for him. More of him. Let us go to him in song.
Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender, this is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender.
Let's sing that again.
Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender, this is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room for you, Jesus, to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. Here's where I lay down. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender, this is my surrender. Here
is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt, this is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to, Jesus, I will make room for you. To do whatever you want to, to do whatever you want to. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. One more time. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Yahweh is better. Yeah. Yahweh is better, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to. I will make room for you, oh Lord. To do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to.
As we let go of our religion, of our traditions, of our idols, or the things that we hold on for our identity, our security, our strength, God reminds us He doesn't let go of us and that He's here with us. This is a covenant God. This is a God of Hesed, right? That unconditional love that you can't do anything for Him to love you anymore. You can't do anything bad to love Him that He loved you any less. And so He comes as He gathers us for those desert times, and He reminds us He is still with us. The bread of life, the manna that's for you. The lamb that was slain for you. To feed you. Not just your body, but your very soul. So our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night He was betrayed, He took bread. And after He'd given thanks, He broke and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, after supper, He took the cup. And after He'd given thanks, He gave it to Him and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant, which shed for you for forgiveness of sins. Do not also you drink it in remembrance of me." And so this is the God of covenant, who's brought us in covenant through the waters of baptism, who reminds us and binds us and tries to strengthen us in that through His body and blood, His grace that makes a way. And so it's for those who are in the covenant, for those who believe that He's truly present here. His word is His word, and His word is He's present, and He says He's here for you, offering forgiveness of sins, His grace, His very body and blood, to sustain us on our journeys, even in the desert. He's there. So that's your heart, and we invite you to come. If you're not on that page yet, we invite you to come with your arms folded. We can say a blessing over you, or you're welcome to continue to worship where you're at. So I invite you to be seated and prepare your hearts with this, in prayer or in song, as we really kind of try to, like God, center our heart really back on you in the heart of worship.
the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come going just to bring something that's worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart, and I'm aimed back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it, when it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. A king of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. It's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it, when it's all about you, all about you, all about you, all about you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you for this precious gift of your body and blood. It does just that. It creates in us a clean heart. It does what we cannot do. So we thank you for your precious gift of your body and blood, it strengthens and preserves us in a one true faith. And we depart here with your peace. All God's people say, amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again already for the grace that you poured out on us to remind us that you're like this prodigal father who's so foolish in his love, who loves us children who wander away, who turn away, who drift away, who leave and go away on our own. And yet you call us back and you take us back. And we don't lose our position as a child with you. We don't become a servant below, but you keep us as your children. So God, we look again to you for our strength and our comfort and our help in all times and troubles. And therefore, it is with our great confidence that we come to you in the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It's our opportunity of those who've received such great grace and love that we just naturally just want to give thanks to God in our heart of gratitude for all he's done. And so our time is to continue our worship in offering. And so in your worship folder, there's an envelope, there's a QR code, text to give, whatever is a way that, man, you can continue your worship and honor him as stewards of the gifts that he's provided for you. Also, that connection card, if you'd be so kind to fill out the backside, look at the backside. There's a different events. It's all on the website. We did not publish everything here or on the email blast that you are being sent out. If you're not getting an email blast, is perhaps we don't have your email. So make sure the front is correct. Christian is very good about sending those out. We give a weekly update. There's a monthly with everything we call the kitchen sink email, with everything going on that month that we know of, and then we give our weekly updates on there. But you see the Women of Hope have a coffee and cards for seminary, and that was really helpful for those guys in the cemetery. That's really great to help them in there. That was intentional. That's why they all wear black. They died. And then the Men of Iron Breakfast coming up on Saturday, and then a night of worship. We had one of those a little while ago, and we're going to keep those quarterly. But, man, it'd be a great time. Just come worship the Lord, seek him in prayer and worship, and also just really preparing and praying for Easter, for God to move in people's hearts. And so that would be a focus. There's some shell painting doing that for Easter. And then the Easter bulletin party is coming, so we're trying to work ahead. So if you want to be signed up, be part of that, be grateful. So we're going to continue our worship as we do. Unlike the other times we're in this building, when we have this many people, the ushers are just going to pass the plate through the aisle. So if you can just help facilitate that, that'd be great.
Take it in.
and on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.
You're welcome to take out your outline so you can follow along today as we lean into God's Word together. You know, there is a word that modern Christianity likes to avoid, and that word is judgment. We like sermons that feel like a warm blanket on a chilly evening. Well, we don't like thunderstorms. But a faith that never speaks about judgment is not biblical Christianity. It's spiritual denial. See, if God is holy, then sin matters. And if sin matters, then judgment is inedible. You cannot have a holy God and a harmless view of sin at the same time. And so tonight, through Hosea, God gives us three images tonight. He gives images of a lion, a whirlwind, and wanderers. And through them, he teaches us the death of his judgment for sin. He doesn't do this, though, to crush us. That's not the point of tonight, to crush you. But it's to awaken you. It's to awaken your hearts to him. My mom, she never disciplined us with words. Literally, I think since we could crawl or something, if we were doing the wrong thing in the wrong direction, all she would do is go, "Ah!" You could have put electric pride to us, you know, right? And I think since we were little, we have been conditioned with that. I mean, she could do it today, I'm probably going to shake. But it was to awaken us, to say, look, you think I'm not seeing what you're doing. I see it. I'm there. And I'm calling you back. That's what God our Father is doing. So let's look at our text together. So when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to the great king, but he is not able to cure you or heal your wound. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim, and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will carry off, and no one shall rescue. Keep going. For they sow the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. The standing grain has no heads. It shall yield no flower. If it were to yield, strangers would devour it. Israel is swallowed up. Already they are among the nations as a useless vessel. For they have gone up to Assyria, a wild donkey wandering alone. Ephraim has hired. You went a little fast. All right, hired. We'll leave it there. Through the lovers, there it is. Though they hire allies among the nations, I will soon gather them up, and the kings and the princesses shall soon wither because of the tribute. My God will reject them because they have not listened to him. They shall be wanderers among the nations. Taking notes, number one, the lion who tears. The lion who tears. What does he say there in Hosea 5:14? Did you hear? For I will be like a lion therefrom, and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will carry off. No one shall rescue. For the lion appears. Notice what Israel does. When Ephraim saw his sickness, they knew they were sick. And yet they went to Assyria. They knew something was wrong. They felt the wound that God had put on them. But instead of turning to God, they turned to their own politics. It's like going to a mechanic when you have cancer. You may get sympathy, you may get a bill, but you're not going to get a healing. They ran everywhere except to the one who could heal them. And God says, I will be like a lion. Hear the emphasis, I. God is not absent from the judgment. He is active. And this is true in all scripture. Isaiah 13:11a says, God says, I will punish the world for its evil. Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Jesus himself spoke of judgment repeatedly. Sheep and goats, wise and foolish. And Jesus even told people who were doing miracles in his name, I never knew you. We often imagine judgment as something God is reluctant to do. Like a parent who sighs and says, okay, fine, I'll do it. It's your turn next time. Hosea plainly makes it very plain and simple. God himself acts and judges. Why? Why would this God of love do such a thing? Because sin is a covenant betrayal. If a spouse commits adultery, it's not merely breaking a rule. It is breaking a relationship. Israel did not just slip up. They replaced God in their hearts, mind, and soul. And Scripture consistently reveals that God's holiness burns against sin. Habakkuk 1:13a. It says, God is righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. See, while you and I, we prefer the Lamb of God, Revelation reminds us in Revelation 5:5, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. See, God's love does not cancel because of his holiness. The lion tears because sin destroys who he loves. So if the lion shows us the judgment is personal, the whirlwind shows us the judgment is progressive. Number two, the whirlwind harvest. In Hosea 8:7-10, I'm going to summarize. It says, for the sow what they sow the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. Here Hosea reveals a moral lesson that's woven throughout all creation. What you sow is what you reap. This is not unique to Hosea. Proverbs 22 says, whoever sows injustice reaps calamity. But the wind, it's harmless. You cannot even grab the wind. You can't even see the wind. It feels so small. It's so small. It's not a big deal. But the wind planted becomes a whirlwind harvest. Sin escalates. James explains the progression. In James 1:15, he says, desire when it has conceived gives birth to sin, and sin when it's fully grown brings forth death. Notice that phrase, fully grown. No one plans to reap a whirlwind. Most of the time, we don't even recognize the storm until it's right above us, over us, and ready to come crashing down. No one plans to become an addict. No one plans to have an affair, right? We use this language, I fell out of love, I fell into love. I didn't plan this. No one plans to see bitterness and unforgiveness be a poison in their family. It starts with a wind. It starts with a whisper. But the harvest is a storm that comes. Israel sowed adultery, false trust in nations, a religion without any repentance, and the harvest came. And what was that harvest, Hosea says? They were swallowed up. Pretty graphic. Psalm 106:43 says, they were brought into subjection through their iniquity. Sin promises autonomy. It promises the freedom. And we even know it's bad. We know it's wrong, just like Israel does. We know it, but we say, I can handle it. I'm in control. It's not a big deal. I can stop anytime. And what we're really saying is, I really just don't need God. But autonomy always becomes bondage. Genesis 3:5, it says the wild donkey wanders alone. It mirrors the Genesis. You can be like God if you do this. You can have that freedom. And an independence from God never produces freedoms. It produces captivity. The whirlwind is not random. It's a natural consequence of sowing rebellion. And so the lion shows us God's active judgment. The whirlwind shows us sins that escalating consequences. And now Hosea shows us where it ends. The wanderers, number 3. Hosea 9:17, my God, reject them because they have not listened to him. They shall be wanderers among the nations. They have not listened. This is a tragedy. From the Mount Sinai, God called them up out of Egypt, rescued them from when they were slaves to the most powerful nation, and made them a nation and said, look, you are to be set apart, my holy nation. And he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord my God, the Lord your God who loves you. And so what did God do there? God did what you just saw. He took a group of people that were among the people, and he delivered them to be his people and anointed them with his favor and blessing, that it would separate them, that they'd be holy because of him and blessed because of him, and that it would flow over the others, but they would not mix with them. And the problem is they did not listen to the Lord, and they turned their own ways, and they kept trying to be the water when they were made the oil. They refused to listen. And because of that, God took their blessing away. See, if you ignore the warning light on your dashboard long enough, eventually the engine's going to fail. And it's not because the mechanic hates you. It's because you refused the warning. And that's what Israel did. And this pattern is not just Israel's. It runs throughout all Scripture. Scripture is very plain. In 1 Samuel 15:23, it says, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you. The result is exile. The wanderer among the nations is a covenant reversal. The God who promised land and rest, inheritance and abundance. But sin reverses the blessing, creates a curse. In the images of wandering echoes in Genesis 4:12, Cain, a fugitive and a wanderer. See, sin always displaces us. It displaces Adam out of the Garden of Eden. It displaces Israel out of the land, the promised land. It displaces peace out of our hearts and souls. And ultimately, Romans 6:23, Paul says the wages of sin are death. And what is death? It's the ultimate exile. It's the final exile. It's number four is the weight of it all. Hosea is not merely ancient history. Paul universalizes the charge of the young Christians in Rome. In Romans 3:23, Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, no one escapes it. It's all. Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. All. That means your pet sin that you like, that you think is okay, is not okay with the holy God. The lion does not only roar at Israel. The whirlwind does not only strike Samaria. Judgment for sin is universal. No one gets a hall pass. Not Israel, not Rome, not us. Hebrews 9:27 reminds us, it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment. It's rather sobering, isn't it? And if the sermon stopped here, it'd be rather crushing. Because where is their hope? But here it is. God never leaves us in the whirlwind. Number five, the greater judgment that saves. God does not stop at wrath. He moves to substitution. The lion who tears becomes the lamb who was torn. And Isaiah reminds us the words of God recorded by Isaiah. He was pierced for our transgressions, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all our sins. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. The whirlwind of the divine wrath falls at the worst imaginable on Christ. It's no wonder that Jesus on the cross shouts, what? My God, why have you forsaken me? For I have not sinned and have only pleased you and done what's right. And yet you have put the whirlwind on me. Hebrews reminds us in 13:12 that it was Jesus cast outside the camp. See, the judgment Isaiah announces is ultimately absorbed at Calvary. At Calvary, justice is satisfied and mercy released. Justice satisfied, mercy is relief. Paul continues in Romans 1:8, there and therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's at the cross the lion's holiness and the lamb's mercy meet. Judgment is not denied. Judgment is absorbed in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, number six, it's a call to return. Hosea never leaves us with despair. Right after the tearing comes the invitation. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will build us up. Judgment is not God's final word. Revelation ends not with an exile. Revelation ends with a homecoming, a glorious homecoming. Right? Revelation 21:3-4, he says, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will wipe away every tear. The lion roars, the whirlwind comes, the exile happens, but in Christ, the torn are healed, the storm is stilled, in the wilderness, those who are wandering are gathered in him. So hear, O Israel, hear, O saints here today, both truths. Tonight, sin brings judgment, but Christ bears judgment. So do not harden your hearts. Return. Answer the call. Because the God who judges sin is the same God who saves sinners, who saves me and saves you. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, you have heard tonight that the lion who tears. You have heard of the whirlwind that comes. You have heard the wanderers who sent away. The word has not softened the truth. Sin brings judgment, and judgment is real. And now the church gives us something visible to match what we have heard today. It's ashes. Ashes are not theater. It's not superstition, but it's a confession. It's confession of our faith. It's a sign of repentance, a sign of our mortality. Genesis 3:19, for you are dust, and dust you shall return. In Job 42:6, I repent in dust and ashes. In Daniel 9:3, Daniel turns to the Lord with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Ashes tell the truth. We are dust. We are mortal. We are sinners. They remind us of Isaiah's warning. Sin tears, sin scatters, sin leads to death. But tonight, ashes are placed on us in a sign of a cross, because the judgment we deserve has fallen on Christ. The line has been torn. He was torn for us. The world has come, and Christ stood in the storm for you and I. Exile has happened, but Jesus has cast out so that we could be brought home. So you receive ashes, you receive both these two truths, the law, the gospel. You confess your sins, you confess your Savior. So as we worship tonight, continue in song. We'll invite you to come forward by the usher's direction. And when you come forward, it's as you come forward as you're able to come, not because you are worthy. Come because you are repentant. Come not because you are strong. Come because you are dust. Come not in despair, but we come in hope, because the Christ has absorbed our sin on that Calvary for you and me. So remember that we are dust, and dust we come, and dust we shall return, but in Christ our sins are forgiven. Right?
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, and I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, and I owe. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless. Where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness. All the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. And at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you, where your love ran red and my sin washed white. I'm in all to you, and I owe all to you. And here my hope is found, here on holy ground, here I bow down, here I bow down, here arms open wide, here you saved my life, here I bow down, here I bow at the cross I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. And I owe all to you. At the cross, at the cross, surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. And I owe all to you. And I owe all to you. And I owe
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's hill where your blood was spilled before my ransom. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me, lead me to the cross. You were as I, tempted and tried, human. The Word became flesh, bore my sin and death. And now you're risen. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Let's rise and worship. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me, lead me to the
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing. You have made and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us a new and contrite heart, the lamentations of our sins, acknowledgement of our wickedness. We may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Now, as we put our hands out as we receive this blessing, this is a longer Ash Wednesday blessing just to prepare you. So if you want to hold them up and sacrifice, go right ahead. Beloved of the Lord, you have confessed that you are dust. You have heard that Christ died for dust. You have received a sign of repentance and the promise of mercy. Now go into this holy season and mark not only with ashes, but with hope. May the God who wounds also heal you. May the lion who judges guard you. May the lamb who was slain forgive you. And may the Spirit lead you from wandering into returning, from sowing the wind into sowing righteousness, from exile into the joy of home. And as you walk on the road of Lent, may you remember your sin is real, Christ's mercy is greater, your death is certain, your resurrection is promised. And the Almighty, merciful God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you and keep you and bring you last from dust to glory. Amen. 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 Amen.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, the darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, oh, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Name, name above all names, worthy of all praise. Yeah. My heart will sing, how great is our God. One more time, come on. Name above all names, you are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Name above all names.
Name above all names, You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God.
Heavenly Father, thank you for being here with us. Thank you for communing with your people. We are so in love with you. Thank you for your mercy and your faithfulness. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. You never leave us alone. Your grace abounds. We love you and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and everyone said, amen. See you Sunday. God bless you.